After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first, after the stirring of the water, was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" And the sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise up, take your bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." And then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn a multitude being in that place. And afterward Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. John 5:1-15. How appropriate that here at the pool called Bethesda, which in Hebrew means the house of mercy, a place known to house God's mercy in the healings displayed that arose from the waters. And how wonderful that the Son of God entered into the pool area on the Sabbath day to heal. It is to us again a reminder that God does what he pleases, and when he pleases to do it. His law is above a man's law, and to be observed and obeyed. The area was more than likely filled with people there to have a miracle in their lives, and this man, we are told, had been there 38 years. Of this, Matthew Henry writes, "He was lame longer than most live. Many are so long disabled for the offices of life that, as the psalmist complains, they seem to be made in vain for suffering, not for service, born to always be dying. Shall we complain of one wearisome night or one fit of illness who perhaps for many years have scarcely known what it has been to be a day sick, when many others better than we have scarcely known what it is to have been a day well?" In the ESV and NIV, this man is described as being invalid, and in the New King James versions, the word infirmity is used. Vine's Expository Dictionary, which gives biblical definitions, has no entry for the word invalid, but they do reference the word infirmity. And in that, there are two words in Greek that are used for the word infirmity. Asthenia, and it means want of strength, and this is a reference to physical ability, and asthenema, and it means scruples that arise through weakness of faith, and this is a reference to spiritual ability. In both of these words, within the body and soul, limits are placed while in this infirm condition. The man is not able to move himself, the physical. The man is not able to control himself in rights and wrong, the spiritual. He is hereby thought to be incapable of taking care of himself and is dependent on others to help him. In John 5:6, when Jesus saw him lying there, he knew that he had already been in that condition a long time, and he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" Here Jesus acknowledges the man and he addresses him, because as we will read later in this account, the man does not know who it is who stands before him, because when he is asked by those that he will encounter, as they ask him, "Who is the man that healed you?" he is unable to answer because he does not know Jesus yet. Jesus knew of the man's condition. He knew of the length of it, the cause of it, and the solution to it. And what he did when he asked the man if he wanted to be made well was to test the man's faith. All this time, 38 years, he had been reliant on another to do for him what he could not. And if there were none to help him, he went on with his suffering at whatever level that may have been at in the moment. This is not only a physical, but more importantly, a spiritual healing we're talking about. A man can be made well without a fully functioning body, but he cannot be made well without a spiritual healing. It is the heart that will lift a man up or tear a man down, and who that heart belongs to will determine the health and the wellness of that heart. It is why we read so often about the need for the renewing of the heart, for the creating of a new heart and a renewed spirit within us. We harbor more than we could ever imagine in our hearts, and we close off the pain of our decisions and choices. And even though we may not have had anything to do with the condition that we find ourselves in, we still are accountable to the ways that we respond to that condition and for the life choices we make while in it. Do you want to be made well? The first thing the man does is offer an excuse for himself, as he's apparently taken some offense to the question that Jesus has asked him. Our pride is always the first to react. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, but while I am coming, another steps in before me." In other words, he is saying, "I have no friends, no family, and no acquaintances that will help me." Others may have help, or maybe a little bit quicker than he is, and even though they may have seen him at the pool all or part of those years, the hearts of men will show themselves in that rather than helping him, their first thought was to the healing of themselves. And very few, if any, will return to the pool and help another. It is unfortunately we that turn and walk and forget from where we have come from too often ourselves. Jesus told him, "Rise and take up your bed." And the man did just as he had been commanded to do. This man, incapable of taking care of himself for 38 years, found in himself a seed of faith, and he responds to Jesus in that faith. And by this seed of faith in seeking and believing in miracles, what he could not do for himself, Jesus did for him. Jesus gave the man hope. The man could have stayed where he was, fearful to do as Jesus had said, or not believing, because the waters had not been stirred that day. And in hopelessness, he could have just brushed off the question asked of him. But he chose to obey the Spirit of God, where our faith comes from. And I would venture to guess he never looked back but forward, becoming himself encouragement for others. You see, that's the thing. The glories, the mysteries, the wonders, the miracles of and from God are not meant for one, but for all, just as in these reports recorded for the generations that were yet to come. That day at the pool, we were given a viewing of salvation's gift, as we watched as the man was before Jesus at the worst in his life. That the man was ready to be healed, that the man believed that he could be healed, that the man did what he was commanded to do after he was healed, and no matter what was said to him, with it being the Sabbath day, he would do as commanded and had counted the cost of it to himself. And in this he gives glory to God, and the first place that he goes to is to the temple to give thanksgiving. You see, it is by our testimonies that his word comes to life to the dying and becomes a hope for those who have none. Jesus gave the command to rise and walk. Have you done that today? Have you let loose of those things that bind you? Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest worse things come upon you." Jesus found the man at the temple, and there he approached him again. But this time the man would see Jesus differently. And when Jesus said to him, "Sin no more," that was a reminder to the man what it was that had brought him to his condition, that had imprisoned him all of those 38 years. Sin makes us sick. Sickly, and those who have been healed must be watchful that they do not slip back into their old ways. It is so common for people to make promises, "If God will only," and then to forget those promises with each passing day. Having been healed and now knowing forgiveness, it would be discipline that would guide and protect the man's new heart and life. Jesus did not leave the man to himself after saying this. No, he continued to say, "Lest a worse thing come upon you." This reminder of what the punishment of sin will be for many in eternity in hell. There are things worse, much worse than physical infirmities. if you call Jesus Savior and Lord? Do you honor him as such in your life, obeying his commands, sharing life with him? And if you have yet to call Jesus Savior and Lord, then may today be the day that you invite him into your life and answer the question that he's asking you. Do you want to be made well?